Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we're here today among you. And Lord, I ask that you would quiet this room down. I pray in Jesus' name that your word will be strong. I pray, Father, that you use Mark as your willing servant once again today as he preaches the gospel, the good news. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that someone will be changed here today. Father, as we celebrate your birth, I thank you that you came to this earth as a baby, that you were born, that you lived here, that you grew up, and Lord, that you were crucified on the cross, that you bore my sins and the whole world's sins, Lord, and that you rose again. And hallelujah, that we can have eternal life with you. And Father, I know there's someone in here today who doesn't know you, but they're on the verge of surrendering their life to you. And I pray today is the day when they'll kneel before you and ask forgiveness of their sins. Turn from their sins, Lord, and follow you. We're claiming a victory here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can only think of one word today, and that's Jesus. Hey, don't take this wrong. I don't want to talk about church today. I don't want to talk about my church. I don't want to talk about your church. I don't want to talk about their church. And hey, I love my church, don't get me wrong here, but this is about Jesus today. Jesus. Somebody really helped me a few weeks ago, focus. You know what it is to focus? Whatever you focus on is what you become. I believe that with all my heart. And all I want to think about this whole Christmas season is having the mind of these two little people right here. These little children right here. They trust. They love. They give. They trust that this man just gave this little one something to eat, that it's healthy for them. That's how my heart needs to be, not just at Christmas, but all year long. A couple quick things there, and I want to pray with you too. I know you appreciate the kitchen, but let them hear you. Tell them that you love them this morning. Give them a hand there in the kitchen. And this praise and worship team, all this music set up, electronics and things, give them a praise this morning. The clothes over here and the literature and the books and things, give them a praise this morning. And you know, praise God that we have this building here. Isn't this something? You know, we got heat and electricity, there's water and restrooms and a place to stay dry and to get fed. Bow your heads with me here. Lord, this is so exciting. And it's not just because it's Christmas. There's a message you've given me today that it's already changed me just in preparation. May it touch someone today, Lord, eternally. Somebody's eternal address this morning in this room is deepest, darkest hell. Deepest, darkest hell. The Bible talks about a place like that. And this message this morning that you've given me could change someone's eternal address to where no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. Heaven. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. And all of God's family said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you have them with you, and open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. I just want to start by saying here, I got a phone call from a really good friend of mine. He lives in Chicago. And he said, Mark, I can't talk to you very long. We have our Christmas party tonight. He said, and man, are we going to do it up? And he started going through all this list and agenda, what they were going to do at their party. And one of the items on the party is they were going to have a fortune teller at the party. And he was all excited about it. And I got off the phone, and this is what I said. This is what I said to the Lord. And it was silently. I was sitting at my desk. I said, Lord, I love Matt. And I love Dan. These are two guys in Chicago. They're walking dead men and they don't even know it. They're good men and I love them. I work with them all year long. And I'm sorry for these words at Christmas, but listen to me, please. They're walking dead men and do not even know it. Jude talks about that. One book, one chapter, a few verses, talks about being twice dead. You're going to die this morning, possibly. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. I got a phone call from the sweetest lady in the world. She lives in Norton. She said, Mark, I didn't know if you heard. My husband passed away. He's a close friend of mine. I knew for years. And somehow I missed that he died about 3 weeks ago. And his obituary, I pulled it up and said, very unexpectedly. I thought, Lord God, he was as healthy as anybody that I know. What happened? Well, I didn't really get an answer as to what happened. All I know is that he's gone. And I just want to say that makes me sad, but it makes me even sad on a higher level and breaks my heart that in this room this morning, there are walking dead men and women, and you don't even know it. May I just say some good news here this morning? This is why Jesus came. God the Father saw the same thing that I'm seeing this week. He saw walking dead men. He saw walking dead women. And he said, I've got to do something about it because I love my children. I've got to do something about it because I love my children. The book of Isaiah, you know, I got about 20 minutes here. And we're going to cover 2013 years, all right? And then we're going to add another 700. So that's, you know, not a lot of time to have a good Bible study. But let me just say this. If you have your Bibles, try to follow along. And we're going to talk for a few minutes here. And I pray that this will inspire you like you have never been touched before in your life. Because something has hit me this Christmas season like it never has in my life. It was many years ago, 1985, I opened up my heart to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, I just love that I'm still growing. I like that I'm teachable. I like that I'm not stubborn. I like that I listen to what people have to say. I'll listen to what anything anybody has to say. But I'll base my truth and my facts on the Word of God. And the book of Isaiah here in chapter 9 says, the people walking in darkness, there's your walking dead people, okay? There's your zombies. The people walking in darkness, they've seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Looking to verse 6, for to us, you know this scripture here, you could probably say it out loud. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called, I love his names here, somebody today needs a wonderful counselor. I'll take one. Someone here today needs a mighty God. I'll take a mighty God. Someone here needs an everlasting father. Please don't hear me say I don't love my dad, all right? He's been in heaven a long time. But dad had nothing to do with me. You know, he worked all day. I appreciate that. He kept food in my belly and a roof over my head. But maybe some of you have looked at various things throughout your life because of things you went through. Some psychologists call them the wounds of childhood. There's a top five, and rejection is the top one. It hurts, you know? It sticks with you. Second one is incest. Third one is molestation. These are painful words, aren't they? Fourth one is emotional abuse. The fifth one is physical abuse. God help us. These are things that happen to children. These are things that you approach as you get older. And if you don't deal with them, they just stay inside you and they grow. Guess who else saw all those wounds of childhood? God the Father saw them. He saw the walking dead men. He saw the wounds of childhood. And he said, I've got to do something about this. And I'm going to be very creative. I'm going to do it in a beautiful way that no one will question. No one will question my power. And this is the other part I like. No one will question my love. Oh, man, isn't that wonderful? No one will question my love. Not my judgment, not my thumb on your life. Not taking something away from you, but giving you something, which we're going to talk about here. He continues to say, Prince of Peace. Oh, man, I'd love to have a Prince of Peace in my life. I'd love to be able to wake up every day and say, Jesus, I have peace in my life. And it's not because my belly's full and my bills are paid and I got a job. Hey, did I say I got a job? Oh, I did, didn't I? Just the last couple of years, I was out of work and I got a job and I feel like it was a miracle at my age. It's not the greatest job in the world as far as money goes, but I have peace there and I love it. May I ask you a question in the audience today? Who this year or recently just got a new job? Raise your hand. I see a hand go up. Okay, I see a few more hands. But let me ask you this. Who here in this room needs a job? Look at all the hands going up. Let's pause for a minute. Bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you. Lord, somebody prayed for me when I was out of work. Somebody reached out to me and said, Mark, don't give up. And Lord, you came to my rescue. You saw the hands that went up here and these men and women that need jobs. Help them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it good and loud. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. I'll be praying for you. I won't remember all your hands, but I'll remember that you raised your hand. And the Father saw that. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Christmas story here. Again, we don't have all morning, but I just want to impact you the way this impacted me. And I want to talk about a couple people here. Do we have anybody in the room named Mary? Any young ladies named Mary in the room? We have any men named Joseph in the room? All right. Do we have anybody in the name with the name Jesus? Today's society calls him Jesus in the room. Just curious. I have a few friends. They go by Jesus. They spell it J-E-S-U-S. I love talking to these guys. They're on the West Coast. I never talk to them about Jesus, but I get a kick out of them when I talk to them. It's just, I don't know what it does to me. And every time I meet someone named Mary, God has trusted me and I'm very involved with senior citizens and nursing home ministry. It's so full of excitement and fruit there. You might say, what? I can't even walk into those buildings. Let me tell you something. I see people there who have full-blown dementia. They can't talk. They can't feed themselves. They don't know who I am from week to week. Yet when we sing the old hymns, they sing. You tell me God isn't amazing. And there's a lot of Marys there. As a matter of fact, last Sunday we had four Marys in the service. And it just touched me. But this particular Mary, you know who I'm talking about. This is the birth of Jesus foretold in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses. We'll talk. I'll read a couple more. We'll talk. I pray this impacts you like it's impacted me. Something has happened this year I'm so excited about. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, I would say that's just keeping it clean, right? Family-like. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Let's pause right there for a minute. She came to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Lord, help me with this now. You and I, as we stand here today and we can feel our own skin, hear our own voice, touch our own face, we did not arrive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember these next few words, so to speak. I want to talk about so to speak in just a minute. But we came together because of a man and a woman. And God looked at this woman, Mary, and she had not been with a man. And I'm trying to get a hold of this as I grow older and think more about this all the time. And she became pregnant with the Son of God. Because God saw the walking dead men. He saw the walking dead women. He saw the children who had the wounds of childhood, the rejection, the incest, the molestation, the emotional abuse, and the physical abuse. He saw it all. And He hurts for you. He wanted something to happen. Her husband Joseph was a righteous man. Verse 19. And he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Why did he see disgrace in her? Who could believe this? Who could believe this? Including Joseph. He wanted to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, that's another word, way of saying, after he prayed on his face before God, cried out and cried, Lord, what am I going to do, is probably what happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. He likes to hear His name. He likes to hear praise. And that's not in a... I don't know how you want to say it. It's just, it's what He likes to hear. He likes to be sang to. He likes to be prayed to. He likes to be talked to. He wants to be involved in your life. Because He will save His people, these walking dead men and these children who hurt from their sins and their life. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The prophets woke me up. I'll say it again. The prophets woke me up one day. I can still remember sitting in church. And with all due respect to this great guy that I'll see over the holidays, I was falling asleep, just like some of you are right now. And he started talking about the prophets of old. And I'll never forget this. I didn't have my eyes closed sleeping, but I think I had them closed. I remember opening one eye when he said the prophet Isaiah talked about Jesus 740 years before he was born. I'm not stupid. I may have done dumb things in my life and made bad decisions, but I'm not stupid. And I sat there and said, I've got to listen to this. And I came to Jesus about 3 months after some stubborn kicking and fighting it. And I came to my senses, just like the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. Listen to what else God did, if it doesn't really grip your heart, that He put a baby inside of a virgin. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who's to be king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. The gospel talks about this star, okay? And the next time you're out and there's no clouds and you see the stars, and if you're fortunate enough, you'll see a shooting star. I saw one maybe 2 months ago, and it's the first one I've seen, I'll bet, in a good year or two. But it was really, it was exciting. I thought, oh, wow. Just watch if there's a light up there. Maybe it's a satellite. Maybe it's a space shuttle. Maybe it's a plane, but it's moving, okay? And you know it's not a star. It's a piece of equipment. Just visualize for a moment a star moving and leading these magi for a period of what they estimated 2 years. That's why Herod asked for all the baby boys in Judea to be killed. Does it break your heart? The heart is deceitful and wicked, isn't it? Don't judge Herod this morning, anyone. We're all capable. We're all capable. Except for the grace of God, there go I, there go you. Herod, who knows what happened to him in childhood? Who knows what happened to him that created this demented mind? But Satan entered him, and he asked for all the babies. He demanded that all the baby boys be killed 2 years and younger, basing this on this star. And the star moved. And if there's any carpenters in the room, you know what a plumb bob is. It's just a piece of string with a weight on the end that'll drop straight and then before there was levels of any length, we still use them today in massive construction. They'll have a direct vertical line and things will be square. Just like a plumb bob, this star stops right over where the baby's going to be born. Are you kidding me? He put a baby and a virgin. He put a star in the sky and it moved. And there in the Bethlehem Hilton with the red carpet and the parades and the trumpets and the parties. Excuse me. No, you know the story. There was no room at the inn. There's no room. Walking dead men and walking dead women have no room for Jesus. This is why the Father said, I've got to help them. I've got to reach out to them. Let me share something with you that changed my life today. And changed my life yesterday. And Lord willing, it'll change my life tomorrow. A couple months back, I was thinking about Christmas season. I thought, wow, Labor Day, boom. October, boom. November 1st, here comes Christmas. And I thought, I've been reading about John the Baptist. You know who he was? Forerunner. He set the stage. He set the path for the one that was to come, Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he was conceived inside a woman named Elizabeth, who was said to be barren. But her husband, a man, normal, right? Zechariah, but he was old. And John the Baptist is conceived in this barren woman. And Jesus talks about him, saying there's no one greater born of man and woman than John. No one. I often wondered if Joseph got a little jealous of that. I'm sure he didn't, but think about that. He said that John the Baptist was the greatest born of a woman. But why didn't God just put that baby in Elizabeth, who was going to partner up with Jesus here? Please listen carefully. This is amazing to me. I hope it's amazing to you and helps you, especially you walking dead men and women. I say that with love, and I mean that this morning. Why didn't he just put that baby in Elizabeth, just like he did to Mary? Would have made sense to me. But then again, this is what I'm thinking about. Why didn't he put that baby in Mary through a man? Would have made sense to me that she would have got married. She would have laid with her husband. She'd get pregnant. She'd have a baby. It would have made sense to me. Here's what happened to my heart. Lord God, I said, please forgive me. Please forgive me. All these years, please forgive me. I've always believed that you could come into my heart and that you did come into my heart. But you proved it and I didn't even know it. Did you hear that? You proved that you could come into a man or into a woman and I didn't even know it. That's why your spirit, touched this woman, and a living, breathing person was inside of her. Hey, let me say this. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Look at them on your own sometime. Some of you know what I'm going to say right now. Jesus said, if any man come to me, right? I will sup with him, the King James says. I will come to live in him. The Father and I, oh my goodness, this has just hit me so hard this year. The Father and I will come to live in him. Hey folks, I'm so excited this morning. You know why? I've got somebody living inside me here today. I've got Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the Savior of the entire world, the Father of the universe who can put stars in place and can drop manna from heaven and part red seas and raise the dead as Lazarus rose. I've got him living inside of me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Steve, would you play in the background for us? Lord, do you think there's somebody here that's dead and they do not know it? And please, Lord, don't let me say that with disrespect or judgment. I love my church family here today. My heart just breaks because heaven is forever. Hell is forever. And I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. I've been washed by the fountain, cleansed by the blood, as the hymn writer said. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel the sod. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Lord, build your family this morning. Maybe somebody wants to come up to this altar to pray. Maybe somebody just wants to fall on their face before God the way Joseph did, and you spoke to him and you revealed what your plan was. Lord God, you proved it. You can come inside of us. That's why you did that. I believe that with all my heart. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, pray with me. Beautiful prayer, short prayer, simple prayer. But if you mean it, eternal prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. There it is. Come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to say Merry Christmas, everyone. I want to say Merry Christmas. I want to say Merry Christmas. Hang on a second. Not finished. Not finished. I'll dismiss you in a minute. I want somebody that's German to say Merry Christmas in German. Anybody? Scream it out. Somebody in Spanish here, say Merry Christmas in Spanish. Somebody. Somebody Italian. All right. Buon Natale. That's me. Merry Christmas, everyone. You're excused. To the food. To the clothing. Thank you.
Gets into the mess, right? That's all that matters. One person come up, that's all.